It's Daily Scramble Live with Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty. Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Russell and Jason Fetty.
Did you send me a thing? Did you send me a thing with what to say right now?
When do I not?
Well, I haven't got it, and it's not in my inbox. You sent it to somebody else. Welcome to Daily Scramble Live.
Somebody's going to copy our show exactly.
No, I found it. Welcome to Daily Scramble Live, blah, blah, blah. That's what you sent
me. That's what I sent you.
Nicely done. It's Daily Scramble Live. It's what day is it? Monday?
It's Monday.
Goodness gracious me, the time flies by. We're KX93.5, and I'm Jason Fetty, and here's Tyler Russell. Good morning.
Well done, Jason Fetty. It was a historic weekend. A lot of stuff in the news, of course, about fighting terrorism and controlling guns, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But most importantly, Jason did his little part to promote world peace. So I'm excited to hear you tell us about that in a little bit.
Yeah, thanks. We will talk about that. Plus, we'll be up to our usual shenanigans. We'll play a game, feature a sorbet of the day, coming up, blah, blah, blah.
On KX93.5, your daily scramble news now.
A lot of news this morning on a Monday. Let's start locally. Investigators are searching for a missing San Clemente man whose car was found abandoned in Utah. The man is Michael Cavallari, brother of the Hills actress Kristen Cavallari, who attended Laguna Beach High School, was on the Laguna Beach MTV show, and is married to Jay Cutler, an NFL quarterback for the Chicago Bears. Grand County Sheriff's officials on November 27th responded to a report of a vehicle in the area about 5 miles south of exit 175 on Interstate 70 in Grand County, Utah. They found a 2014 Honda Civic, but couldn't find the driver nearby. The Grand County Sheriff's Office is handling the case as it's an active person, missing person investigation. Anyone with information or knowledge of the whereabouts, again, of Michael Cavallari, is asked to contact the Grand County Sheriff's Office at 435-259-8115.
Wow, that's scary for the family this time of year. How awful.
Yeah, and it's a big celebrity family, so hopefully he's found. President Barack Obama on Sunday issued his most passionate denunciation yet of ISIS, vowing to destroy the group in a relentless, strong, and smart campaign that is consistent with the nation's values. In just the third primetime press conference from the Oval Office in his presidential career, he told millions of television viewers that last week's mass shooting in San Bernardino, California, was a terrorist attack by a couple who had gone down the dark path of radicalization and embraced a perverted form of Islam. Obama demanded tougher gun control, saying it was a key part of combating ISIS. He said it is currently too easy for people who want to harm Americans to buy guns. But in a Congress dominated by Republicans, passing a force authorization bill or revisiting gun laws could prove nearly impossible. And in another historic event, for the first time in 100 years, the New York Times printed an opinion piece as its front page story. The headline, End the Gun Epidemic in America. One poignant line reads, "It is a moral outrage and a national disgrace that civilians can legally purchase weapons designed specifically to kill people with brutal speed and efficiency." It's heating up.
Yeah, certainly is. We'll talk more about that as the morning goes on, but that's it's a big deal.
Former President Jimmy Carter said Sunday that his cancer is gone. Positive news for you. Carter said in a statement that his most recent MRI brain scan did not reveal any signs of the original cancer spots or any new ones, but he will continue his treatment. Carter, 91 years old, initially made the announcement near the beginning of the Sunday school class he was teaching at Marantha Baptist Church. Even Carter's closest friends had no idea the news was coming, which only added to the sense of gratitude as the news filled the little church.
I sometimes think people like President Carter, they're just not like us, are they? He's 91, he's teaching a class, he's fighting cancer, he's talking to the press. They're just special people.
He's a lovely man.
Amazing. Amazing.
No, that's good news today.
God bless him.
In music news, this is kind of a cool discovery that I found over the weekend. Most bands would kill to sell 10,000 copies of an album, right, in its first week of release. But Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon still manages today to move that many units each and every week, 41 years after it was released. And 10,000 is actually a slow week for Dark Side of the Moon.
Oh my God, I don't know what to say. I'm delighted for them and horribly jealous all at the same time.
But here's what's really interesting. Pink Floyd have earned a comfortable living, probably simply off the royalties from Dark Side of the Moon. But the drummer Nick Mason says the band hasn't taken as much of a paycheck as one would imagine. They said they weren't a huge band before Dark Side of the Moon, and because they knew Dark Side was not the sort of album that you get recorded in a day, they renegotiated their contract with the label so they'd get more studio time at the cost of lower royalties on the album's sales. So they actually got it made about over a year of studio time, which would never happen today.
Yeah.
It went on to be one of the top-selling albums ever, but they sacrificed some long-term profits for it.
I'm finding it, not even knowing the numbers, I'm still finding it a little bit difficult to feel sorry for you, Nick Mason. You know, God bless you. What does it mean? You can't afford another fleet of Formula One motor cars? What does it mean?
Does he own a fleet of Formula One motor cars?
Well, probably. Gentlemen rock stars in Britain. Probably owns a fish farm as well.
Are you not under the school of thought that Dark Side of the Moon is the greatest album of all time?
Oh, let me put this way. I loved it. I mean, I haven't heard it in a long time.
Yeah.
Probably just heard it too many times. No, it was magnificent. Amazing.
I feel like as long as there's still drugs, Dark Side of the Moon will still
that could
sell
be the other thing.
That many copies.
Here's the other thing. I don't take drugs, so I don't know whether I'd really enjoy it. Because it was really a sort of stony record.
Yeah.
I turned on our radio station at midnight on Saturday night. There's a bunch of electronic dance music playing, really banging, great, upbeat music playing.
Melodic Tronic is the show, yeah.
Right, and I turned to my friend who was in the car with me and I said, just how stoned do you have to be?
Yeah, that's the new Dark Side of the Moon, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
It really is. Just different drugs, different artists.
Yeah, great fun though, why not?
That's the news this morning. Thanks Laguna Beach Independent Newsroom for contributing. Thanks Jason Fetty.
Yeah, I hope I did contribute, just sort of commenting, you know, like the man in the pub, just going, oh, yeah, I know nothing about this, but I'm going to give an opinion anyway.
Well, we'll talk about the little part you did do this weekend, which I thought was lovely. We'll talk about that coming up. We're playing alternative Christmas music here on the radio station. So here's our friend Matt Costa with his new original Christmas song.
Daily Scramble Live.
That's the show on KX93.5. I'm Tyler Russell, Monday morning. Jason Fetty here as well.
Morning.
Hello. We had a long, big weekend that we can recap a little bit, but most importantly, you did something noble and lovely, sir.
Oh, I changed the world, actually.
You did.
This weekend, don't know if you noticed. You want to throw?
I've looked around. Tell everybody what you did.
Well, the simple story is that we brought together, myself and some lovely friends, brought together three groups of kids, young people, mostly around 17, 18 years old, late teens. A group of Christian kids, a group of kids from Muslim background, and a group of kids from the Jewish community. So Jewish, Muslim, Christian kids. They all came together in a room at Laguna College of Art and Design, who graciously gave us a room for the weekend. They spent 6 hours on Saturday and 8 hours on Sunday writing, recording, and then in the end performing a song that they had created, that they created. So they wrote the song from scratch. I mean, these kids really wrote the song. And it was a beautiful and inspiring experience for me. These kids are so uncynical, and they were awesome. And to watch them transform from a bunch of shy, awkward kids who didn't know what they let themselves into really confident, giggling, giddy artists and musicians was amazing.
Right. And they were recruited by you as part of a bigger global organization called Music in Common,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That has done this experience with different groups of kids from all over the world, you know, and now we have a Laguna Beach version.
Right, or an Orange County version. Yeah. Hopefully we're going to kind of cover the greater LA basin. But it was nice to do it in Laguna Beach. Obviously, it's a destination for people to come. They love coming to Laguna. Music in Commons, like, it's a non-profit organization, and they've got this mission to sort of empower and strengthen and build bridges between communities which would perhaps not normally either be in conflict or have no, at the very best, have no contact with each other. And obviously, Jewish and Muslim and Christian communities have that, face that challenge, among others. So it was a big deal. I met this guy, Todd Mack, who's the founder of the organization, a bunch of years ago in Israel, when Ava and I, my wife and I, were just traveling and I was doing some gigs out there, a couple of festivals to play. And he'd started this organization in the name of his good friend, Daniel Pearl, who was a journalist for the, you may remember this, the journalist from the Washington Post,
yeah,
and CNN. And he was in Pakistan, and he was killed by Al-Qaeda out there. He was the first American journalist to be killed. And his murder was filmed, and it was on the internet, went viral. And so Todd Mack, his friend, who'd been in a band with Daniel for years, wanted to do something positive, and he kind of made a decision based on, you know, he realized that he could choose between being angry and hateful toward the people that had killed his friend, or try and do things to build bridges and understand each other. So they do all kinds of things. They do all kinds of concerts and programs, but one of them is this immersion program where they bring, as I say, three groups of kids together to write a song. It's absolutely magical, Tyler. I can't tell you. This thing ended last night, so I'm still on a high. So it was magic. More information on my Facebook page, and you know, if you want to get involved, just contact me.
Well, here's a big question I'd like to ask you about it. How can what the kids did in bridging their own racially and religious gaps together, mm-hmm. how can that reflect on the bigger world problems we have?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, it's not just, it sounds at first like it may be, a cynical guy like me may say, it's just a kumbaya moment. They get to hold hands and sing, we love each other and peace in the world. It's meaningless. But when you see the transformation in these kids, because they've had no contact, the Jewish kids have had no contact with Muslim kids. Hmm. The Christians have never met a religious Jewish person, somebody really of faith. You know, they all know Jews like me who sort of eat donuts at Hanukkah and, you know, whatever. But actually, people of faith meeting each other for the first time and realizing, hey, that we're three dimensional. We're just people. And then they begin to make jokes, and then they begin to write songs. And before you know it, they see each other as three dimensional. And you know, they've made hopefully lifelong friends at 17. You can make lifelong friends over a weekend. And when that kind of thing starts to happen, even in a small way like we did yesterday across the world, that is the beginning of world peace. Plus, they collaborate and they are involved in a creative process together. They prove that they can create something from nothing. And if peace is going to happen in the world, it's going to be a collaborative, creative process. I mean, that's just what it is. So these kids have proved that it's possible. And they now know that it's possible in a way that actually my generation didn't know. I mean, I came into this with all kinds of prejudices because I never had this opportunity at 17 to hang out with Muslims and Christians. And so I just think they're awesome for trying it. And I know that they came away with a transformed idea of the possibilities in the universe, even with the complexities of the Middle East and the situation. And every time something horrible like San Bernardino occurs, it knocks us back, you know, two steps back, and we go, oh, maybe there is no way to fix this thing. I mean, they were transformed, these kids, and I hope they remain transformed, and maybe they can change the world in their own way, in a way that my generation couldn't. I almost feel like saying, to their generation, I'm really sorry, we've kind of left you with a messed up world.
Yeah.
You know, I do. I feel a little guilty.
Well, last night I thought was really lovely and emotional for you and for the people involved and mm-hmm. for some of the parents who got to watch their kids do this. They played the song that they had written, mm-hmm. That they had written all weekend long, and it's been recorded at Laguna Sound Studio.
Yep.
So where can the normal populace hear it?
Well, it's going to take a couple of weeks to mix and finish the song because mm-hmm. it was recorded real quick, and then we zoomed back to the college, ate pizza, and then the mayor, you know, Steve Dictero, our mayor pro tem, arrived to make a speech, and it was all a bit crazy.
Right.
And all the parents arrived and interested parties, various people from the Muslim community, a couple of rabbis, some of the people from the neighborhood congregational church. I mean, it was a real sort of interfaith love fest, you know. But the video should be finished in a couple of weeks, and the track will be finished in a couple of weeks. So as soon as it's done, I'll stick it on YouTube. I will post on Facebook, on KX935's Facebook page, and on my own. And just keep your eye out, and you'll see it's really a lovely thing. They wrote a great song.
Yeah. And part of the process is making a video as well, right? Yeah. That's an important part of it.
Okay. Yeah, although our focus, because this program usually is executed over a number of weeks, we shrunk it down to a two-day
program. Oh, really? I didn't realize
that. Just to get this thing off the ground in Orange County, because it would have been too big a commitment to ask people to commit to a month of Sundays or whatever at first without any sort of background.
Well, that explains why some of the videos in the movie were, like, really well-produced and clearly had some time behind them.
We showed a movie at the end of the night of some other groups across the world. This has been done in Israel and the Far East and also lots of times in the United States. And they, so our video will be a bit more, I don't know, a bit more sort of homegrown. But it was done really quickly. And Dave DeSantis, our friend Dave DeSantis, came and filmed all weekend long, and he'll edit the video and it'll go on YouTube, and we'll do another one as soon as we can with other groups of kids. And if you're interested, just be in touch with me.
Yeah.
The kids really had a transformative weekend. They were so respectful. They were so open to ideas, and you could totally see that they've made friends, which I think they'll have for a long time.
Yeah. Well, you said something really lovely last night that I know I'm going to butcher, but basically you can't change the world, but by doing nothing... What was it?
Just because you can't do everything doesn't mean you shouldn't do anything.
There it is.
Right.
Well
just,
said.
We just do small things. It'll be okay.
Yeah. Love it, Jason Fetty. Music in Common is the name of the organization. Again, you can watch our various social media channels, KX93.5 or Jason Fetty on Facebook for when that song comes out. But again, the littlest thing happened in Laguna, but it meant a big thing.
Yeah, thanks for asking about it, Ty. I didn't expect that.
You can wipe your eyes now. Holiday season is upon us, Jason Fetty. Here's a Christmas story for you.
Okay.
A train station in England is trying to keep homeless people from sleeping there overnight by blasting the Chipmunk song from midnight to 6 a.m.
Why?
Because they don't want people sleeping there.
Why?
Because they're homeless.
So?
I don't know. I don't know the why. I don't know the why. I just know that in Bournemouth.
Bournemouth, yeah. Now. Okay.
Okay, you get it?
It's Bournemouth. Well, Bournemouth, very conservative. It's an old school seaside town. Well, beginning to sound a lot like somewhere else I know. it's a lot of old people. Old Jews go there. It's like the Florida of Britain.
And they don't want homeless people sleeping in the train
station. Well, they're probably scared of them a little bit. And, you know, old people make them a bit nervous. You don't want to trip over them, do you? What they do in Amsterdam, I used to sleep outside the train station in Amsterdam with a load of other homeless young people traveling in Holland.
The big train station there?
Yeah,
I've been to that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a line. If you go there any time at night, there's a line of people sleeping in sleeping bags, mostly young people traveling. It's not hobos, itinerant, you know, men of the road. It's young people who don't want to pay the money for it.
You think it's that way still?
It was then, anyway, 25 years ago.
Yeah.
But we used to sleep outside it in a line, hundreds of people. And then at 5:45 in the morning, the police would come by and whack our feet with sticks. And we'd all have to get up so the commuters could go to work without tripping over.
That sounds just as effective.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to do it. You can't stop people sleeping.
Well, the Chipmunk song seems to be working in Bournemouth.
Look, you know what you've got there? You've got a load of sleep-deprived homeless people walking the streets. And we certainly don't want that here with guns easy to buy.
Oh, man, that's a whole separate thing. Do you know that? Do you know that? Most people can't tolerate more than 6 seconds of the Chipmunk song.
Really?
That's a statistic.
Not surprised.
6 seconds of the Chipmunk Christmas song is too much for most people.
I can see you fiddling around. We're not going to test this, are
we? Yeah, we're going to test it. I want to see. So on you in the car and Jason Fetty in studio, I can tolerate the whole thing. I enjoy it. So I will play the Christmas, the Alvin the Chipmunks Christmas song. You just test yourself. count to as many seconds as you can before you're forced to press the volume button on your radio. But then come back, because we're still going to be here. Here we go.
All right, that's enough. That's so much enough. Wait, let's just relax into this a moment.
That's six.
Is it German? What language are they speaking? With KX 93.5, Laguna's only FM, generational alt rock for the digital age. It sounded like they were singing German or Swedish.
I quite enjoy it.
In a way, I kind of do. I'm glad you didn't play the whole thing.
I almost played.
Is that the Chipmunk song, or is that just
song? That's the Christmas Chipmunk song. Right. Yeah.
It's very Christmassy. Whatever. It's all right.
Here you go.
Here's the sorbet of the day.
So if you, like me, wake up stressing and obsessed and flustered about your life and, you know, the petty small things and hating the world, and then slowly you have a cup of coffee and you go in the shower and you realise how mean and douchebaggy you really are, and then you stress and obsess over that, and it just becomes one big, horrible, spinning out of control resentment. If that's how you are in the morning, which, you know, I can relate to that, then here's your sorbet of the day. It's a cleanser for your mental palate. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about music in common this morning, and hopefully we can all see each other as three-dimensional, but it is tempting to not see each other as three-dimensional. And that's the beginning of racism, when you don't see the other as your equal or even as human. So here's your sorbet. With that in mind...
I don't like where this is going.
Well, it occurred to me that, you know, thinking about all this over the weekend, why is the Lone Ranger called Lone? He's always got his Native American friend Tonto with him. Seems a little racist to me.
That's it.
He's not the Lone Ranger.
That was the sorbet of the day.
He's part of a duo, isn't he? So he's got his pal.
It's actually a good point.
Right?
Yeah.
See?
Poor Tonto. He's another... oppression story.
I've got my prejudice AK-47 with me today. I'm blowing up prejudice everywhere.
Enjoy your toast and jams on Daily Scramble Live.
Jams!
That
was a jam, yeah.
Allman Brothers-y, right?
Yeah, really great.
The Sheepdogs is the band, yeah. With Take a Trip. Very cool on Daily Scramble Live.
Totally great. Hospitality like last Friday was good, wasn't it?
It was really fun.
Isn't it a celebration when Jesus rode into Laguna on a horse? So we call it Horsepitality Night.
I think you've got it exactly right.
Yeah, I like
that's
it. Yeah.
Exactly what happened.
Hosanna.
We are thrilled every year to MC Hospitality Night. It's very nice of the Chamber to continue to ask us.
Mm.
You know, the first year we came to town, they called me and said, we want to do something a little different. How would the radio station feel about MCing and broadcasting? And, you know, we haven't upset anybody since then. So we still have the gig.
It's fun for us. Although we went on stage, if you weren't there, we went on stage in front of many thousands of people on Forest Avenue in order to sort of fill in the gap while they changed over bands.
Right.
Kenny Garcia played, Kenny Garcia Band, with Anesha Rose, who was magnificent, singing there. It was really fun. And while they were setting up the band, we thought it would take about 10, 15 minutes. Of course, it took about 40 minutes, and we just stood there and stalled.
For 40 minutes.
Just kept talking. You know that game we play, BS Hot Potato? It was like that, except we talked for 40 minutes instead of a minute.
Instead of one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was excruciating. But then I got off the stage, and I asked some people who were around there. I was like, my God, how did you sit through that? And they were like, you know, it's actually kind of entertaining.
It was fun, yeah.
So I don't know what we did. We just asked Laguna Beach trivia questions for 40 minutes, and it was somehow kept everyone's interest. And then Jason sang a couple of Police Blotty songs up there.
Yeah, it was good fun.
Which was
too,
really
yeah.
fun. People yeah. got the gist of that. You know, I had a woman come up to me after you left that night and said, can I listen to your show from anywhere? I said, yeah, actually, you can listen online. We've got an app, website. She goes, good. I live in Portland, Oregon.
Oh.
And that British guy was really funny.
How nice.
So there you go. And they listened this morning and found you're actually crude and quite rude. So they probably
revolting.
Probably decided.
Fun of other people's religions.
To not listen
having
anymore.
Having done an entire weekend of interfaith work.
That was lovely. I love when people figure out that they can hear us from anywhere, and hopefully we made a few new fans and kept a few old ones.
Right.
On Friday at Hospitality Night.
So Christmas is coming, is here.
Christmas time.
It's great. I love Christmas.
Do you?
Yeah, yesterday, over the weekend we did this interfaith thing with Jewish, Muslim and Christian kids, and we went around the room, and one of the questions that we asked to break the ice was, what's your favourite faith holiday?
And everybody said Christmas.
No, well, it's funny you should say that, because people went round and the Muslims said Eid, al-Fatah, or Ramadan, and the Jews were into Passover, and the Christians obviously love Christmas. And I had to be honest and say, honestly, the one that really makes me, as a Jew, gets me the most worked up, Christmas.
It's lovely.
It's so nice.
It's just in the air.
Yeah.
But it confuses me a little.
Okay.
I will admit, and my grandparents who sent me to Sunday school hopefully aren't listening, because this embarrasses me a bit. Jason and I were talking off the air, and he told me he'd explain it to me. I'm having trouble grasping at the fact that Jesus was Jewish.
Okay.
I get it. Like, I understand he was Jewish, and like, that was the religion of the time. But if Jesus was Jewish, is this a stupid question? Then why is the religion that believes he was the Messiah not Judaism? Is this the dumbest question of all time?
It's a really great question.
Please explain it. Just quickly.
Can you
just
quickly?
Quickly.
Okay. So, first century Palestine, Israel.
This is not quick.
Christianity, in effect, in reality, is a Jewish cult. Jesus was a rabbi, was a Jewish rabbi. He said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. So let Caesar do what he wants. We're Jews. In fact, in Matthew, one of the four Gospels, Matthew talks about how you should behave in the temple, the Jewish temple, and how you should operate at Passover, which is the biggest festival of the year, really, in a lot of ways. It certainly was in temple times. People from all over the world would do like a hajj, I hate to use that word, a pilgrimage to the temple in Jerusalem for Passover. So that was a big deal. It was only changed into a Passover was only changed into the kind of festival that you do at home with a Passover Seder that everybody's familiar with after the destruction of the temple in AD 70. Are you asking serious questions?
I don't think this had to do with my question.
Yeah, it does. So Jesus was a rabbi, a Jewish rabbi, who was alarmed at how the hierarchy, Jewish hierarchy of the temple was conducting itself, making money off of selling tributes and various, you know, things that we complain about today, about the Catholic Church, let's say, or any kind of corrupt political organization. Oops, just said that the Catholic Church was a corrupt political organization on the air. But anyway, you get the idea. So so Jesus was a revolutionary rabbi. He wanted to go back to basics and do things the right way, as he saw it. And so he got this group of ragtag people together, and they saw him as their rabbi and their teacher. And then eventually people began, after over hundreds of years, to see him as more than just a teacher, but as a divine son of God, or a lamb of God, as they say, you know. And that religion was created by Paul, who was Saul, who had his big change on the road to Damascus. Are you really serious about this? I could go on about this all morning long.
I can tell. I really didn't know
he
what
wrote letters to the Corinthians.
Opening.
But anyway, the question is, how come Jesus was Jewish?
That's sort of the question.
How come anybody's Jewish?
Well, that's not really the question. That's sort of the question. I don't know. I didn't realize that you could talk about this so much. I thought you'd have a quick answer for me.
He was Jewish, and his followers, the conversion to Christianity, which was a Jewish sect, worked better among the pagans than it did among the Jews, who all said, we've already got one rabbi, and we don't like him very much.
All right, so I like that.
We don't want a new one.
Thank you, Jason Fetty. I feel very educated.
Please
now.
Don't call. Please don't write. We're not journalists, and we're certainly not scholars of theology.
Someone's literally calling right now.
Oh my God, somebody's going to say you're wrong.
We're going to see what that's happening. That's about. All right, well, there you go. Okay, cool. Yeah. Real big fish. Meli Kaliki Maka is the song that they're doing there. We play alternative holiday music this time of year, which we're quite proud of. Nobody else does that. And that was one.
Meli Kaliki Maka or Merry Kaliki Maka.
Meli, it's the Hawaiian Hawaiian Merry Christmas. Jason Fetty, you finally did it. You finally were inspirational enough to get a phone call about something.
Yeah, a guy called Aaron called, and he wanted to talk about first century Christianity. and fascinating stuff. For me, it's fascinating.
Yeah, I see. Again, I didn't really know what I was getting into, but I'm glad that you and other people are interested.
Oh, it's for people that like that kind of stuff, it's really fascinating. The history is difficult, and to actually find out what really happened, there's not very much written down. Historians at the time, you know, there was a big war going on in Palestine, and apart from the Bible, which was written two or three, or the New Testament was written 200 or 300, most of it a couple of hundred years after Jesus' death, there's not much history.
But you know what? I've got a Christmas tree in my house.
Well, you know what? That's the thing.
And the lights are up.
I'm into the true message of Christmas is, please make sure that you buy me a lot of gifts, which I like to get, and thoughtful gifts, please, and expensive gifts. That's what I want. That's what I feel is the spirit of Christmas.
True meaning for you.
True meaning of Christmas for me.
My Christmas tree is lovely. It turned out great. Yeah.
Good for you. Thanks. I love a Christmas tree. We don't have one in the house. Feels a bit, we'd use. It's a bit.
I think it might be Jim Gaffigan or another comedian who points out that Christmas is really just the behavior of like your drunk uncle who goes out into the forest, gets a tree, brings in a living room and says, let's put some lights on it. You know?
Now, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Big meal. Let's put some egg stuff in with this. Yeah. That's a really great drink.
It's just a drunken mess. I had a really nice guy at the Christmas tree lot in Dana Point who just finished driving to California on his motorcycle from North Carolina and is now chopping Christmas trees in a lot. People are interesting, man.
People do what they want. I'll tell you what, it's funny. You know, we grew up in a, compared to certainly the Western United States, a very secular Jewish, or not a secular Jewish, I was going to say the opposite, a more orthodox sort of Jewish environment. We would never have had a tree. People would have talked. You couldn't have a tree. It just didn't feel right. Out here, everybody does what they want. It's wonderful. I worked on a Christmas tree lot when I first got here.
Really?
Yeah, because I was broke and illegal, and I had to do stuff for cash.
Yeah.
So I worked on this Christmas tree lot over in Mission Viejo, and I used to wear a Star of David around my neck, you know, on a necklace, and it kind of fell out of my shirt, you know, as I was loading this Christmas tree onto the top of this car, and this lady said to me, "Oh, you're Jewish," and I went, "Yeah, I'm Jewish." Yeah. She goes, "Oh, we're Jewish." And that was a really early, I mean, now I wouldn't be so surprised, but I'm like, really? You're telling me that really? Amazing.
It's great. I think it's great.
It's fantastic.
It's great.
Happy everything to everyone. That's what I say.
This holiday season, get ready to cut loose. Montage and KX93.5 present Winter Concert Classic with Kenny Loggins. Bring the whole family to Irvine Bowl, Pageant of the Masters on December 13th to hear Kenny's hits and also holiday favorites from pop harmonizing group The Shadow Boxers. And local favorite David Allen Baker. The kids will love our Winter Wonderland in the Festival of Arts grounds with falling snow and a visit from old St. Nick himself. Enjoy complimentary hot chocolate and holiday treats with adult libations available for purchase. Proceeds will benefit KX93.5, Boys and Girls Club of Laguna Beach, and School Power, Laguna Beach Educational Foundation. Don't miss Kenny Loggins at Laguna's most beautiful concert venue, Irvine Bowl, Sunday, December 13th at 6 p.m. Tickets at KX93.5.com.
Smooth jazz, KX93.5. Smooth Christmas sound of KX93.5, 365. We've changed our format. We're going to play smooth Christmas music all year long.
It's known as adult contemporary in the radio world.
AC.
Yeah, that was maybe a little too adult for us.
Not contemporary.
You know, it's a great
song.
I love Last Christmas. It's one of my absolute favorite Christmas songs.
George Michael originally. George Michael wrote it, I think.
I have no idea, really.
Yeah.
There's a lot of versions of it, and that's probably the worst one.
He wrote it
one.
In a bathroom in North Hollywood, I heard.
That's probably the worst one. I remember being in a breakup in college, like as a freshman in college, and I was driving. It was late at night in December, and I was crying listening to Last Christmas.
Aww.
Now, I remember this, and the windows are down, and I just like, you know, just listening to Last Christmas, I think by Jimmy Eat World at the time was the version I was listening to. Just wanting everything to be like last December.
Like last year.
Why can't it be the same?
Me loads of gifts.
Hey, we've talked a lot about political stuff and religion and
we've done everything this morning, haven't we? We've probably offended loads of people.
But I've got one more thing. I've got one more thing that's both funny and politically oriented, okay? Right. There's been this thing in my email inbox. I keep getting emails from this. I have no idea how I got on this list, but it's a petition that they keep wanting me to sign to protect bathroom privacy in California. Did you know this was a thing? So apparently right now there's an initiative. No, I know. This is why of everything going on in the world, why are we talking about this? I have no idea, but it's apparently a thing. Okay. There's a petition right now that wants to approve the use of facilities of bathrooms in accordance with the biological sex of the person, rather than like it has been in the past couple of years when California's legislature passed a bill that said students could choose which bathroom they wanted to go into.
That's on college campuses, yeah?
Right.
Or is that everywhere?
It's California public schools that can choose which bathroom they best identify with. So now this organization has been formed looking for 500,000 signatures to reverse that and make it so you're only using facilities in accordance with your biological sex. This email has been in my inbox every morning, and that's why I'm like, please find something better to do with your petition.
I just died a little inside when I heard that story. But I will say this about it. I'm quite a stickler for bathroom privacy.
You are?
Yeah. I don't care whether I'm in... If I was in the ladies... The thing about it is the stalls are too flimsy in California. I would sign a document or a petition that was opposed to the flimsiness of stalls. Because I'm very... You know, my wife will tell you, when we moved into our apartment...
You're loud.
I don't know if I'm loud. Maybe I am. But they... When we moved into our apartment, one of the first things I checked was that the bathrooms, the two toilets, had one of those fans in it, the extractor fan.
Very important.
Because I need to put the fan on. I don't know whether people can still hear me outside, not, but I feel like I'm impressed. It's not just physical, it's audio too.
Yeah, it's audio. That's why there's very loud music at like when you go to a bathroom at a bar or a club. That's intentional.
Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Or like a fancy restaurant.
Right.
If you go to the bathroom at Studio at Montage here in town, mm-hmm. each stall is its own prison cell. I mean, the wall goes all the way up to the ceiling. Yeah. The door goes all the way down to the floor. And the music is infuriatingly loud.
That's how, exactly
and that's,
how it
that's
be.
What you want, huh?
I'm in favor of that, very much so. And a big pile of newspapers to read in there.
I'm sure
mind.
They've got it.
And I, you know, do you ever do that thing of like, like the bathroom here, the stall's very flimsy.
Very flimsy. It almost falls off every time you open the door.
It's like a Japanese ryokan. It's made of paper or something. And if you're in there, do you ever do this thing when as soon as the door opens, the outside door opens and somebody comes in.
You stiffen up.
You start whistling.
No, I don't whistle.
You never do that?
I don't whistle.
I'm like, mm-mm, stop. Oh, you know, or I cough. Let them know I'm in there.
I do the toilet paper really right. loudly.
Rustle it.
Yeah. That's what I do. Yeah, you definitely want to make sure.
Everyone's aware. I'm in here.
It's especially great when they walk in and they realize you're in there and they leave immediately.
Right.
Thank you. I say thank you.
I do that.
You leave. Yeah,
I
do as well.
If I go in there and I know somebody's in the stall and I'm waiting, I won't wait.
No way.
In the
Don't
bathroom,
wait in.
Outside of the
leave.
Stall. No, I leave.
Totally.
And let them come out with privacy.
You know, last week about 7:30 in the morning, I went to use the men's restroom and Esther was cleaning it. Mm. Okay, our cleaning lady here at the building. And she said, just use the women's. And I was like, okay, but I want you to stand here and make sure no women come in. Esther, can you please do that for me? She said, yes, no problem, of course. So I use the restroom and I come out. Esther's gone. She left. And I saw her downstairs. I said, what are you doing? She goes, oh, I'm so sorry.
No, see, I don't mind. I will use the ladies or the men's. It doesn't matter if the men's is broken. I'll use the ladies because it's not the gender of the person that's in there. It's just the fact that there's somebody there who can hear me. I don't really care.
Right.
Male or female.
So you would or would not sign this petition?
I would not sign this petition.
But if the petition said, simply make walls sturdier and music louder in
regulate
bathrooms.
Regulate it. Regulate a number of inches thick, certain kind of like audio dampening of some kind, you know, acoustic engineering, very important. And also, as soon as you leave the stall, not only does the toilet flush, but the little thing goes, and some air freshener comes out. I'd be in favour of that.
You're asking for some fancy restrooms.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe we can get one of those guys to sit there and hand out bits of toilet paper like they do.
Like a bathroom attendant.
Yeah, bathroom attendant. That's what we need.
One more quick story for you. In college, I used to do prank videos for our local radio station on the college campus. So my friend and I, this has got to be highly illegal. My friend Jonathan and I posed as fake bathroom attendants. So
it's brilliant. We've got to get Jack to do this.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
So, but it's highly privacy invading. I went into a restroom on my college campus and I wore gloves and I handed out paper towels and I had a sign that offered my services to various bathroom goers. And I actually got a tip from one teacher.
This is
one
brilliant.
Teacher gave me a tip.
What we do is we get Jack to go up to Newport Beach like we do every week to punk Newport.
Yeah.
We get him to go to like a mall or somewhere, you know, where there are a bunch of people around, find a bathroom, take all the toilet paper out of the stalls, right, and put it in his bag, and then stand at the door and say, I'm sorry, but we're charging for toilet paper now. You know, there's been people using too much of this stuff.
He can't keep their money, though. He's got to give it back.
We could give it to charity.
We could give it to charity. That would be a nice spin on it, raising money for the bathroom privacy petition.
Toilet paper for cancer. Or something. It'd be a good one.
Nice thought.
Right?
You had no idea we had so many opinions on public restrooms, did you? Jason Fetty's here. I'm here. It's Daily Scramble Live. You look scat through the room and the streets, you know you are the Zox.